Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Quality of Life Month. We are approaching the end of the year. I hope everyone's life vision is going swimmingly. I look forward to serving you for the rest of the year and throughout the years to come as you hone your life vision and implement a 12-category smart lifestyle. Quality of life, truly one of my favorite categories. I know you hear me say that a lot, but I love this category. And today's guest is very, very knowledgeable, and he has a lot of enlightening information when it comes to quality of life. Luke Myers is on the phone. How you doing, Luke?
Doing excellent, thanks, Jordan. Looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, man, especially because your expertise falls right into this category. Before we talk about all the highest leverage moves for optimizing our environment and increasing our quality of life through our environment, before we dive into all of that, I want to know a little bit about you. Talk to me about your journey. Just a few short, months ago, you were homeless. Just talk a little bit about yourself, what you do, who you are, and how you came to be at the place you are now.
Yeah, so I grew up in Australia, a decent enough upbringing. I had my fair share of troubles like many people. But about 3 years ago this month, I had a big fallout with family, and I went through a period of complete financial self-sabotage. I was trying to grow a photography business, and there was a six-week period where I was technically homeless, and I didn't have a place to stay. I relied on friends, ran out of money, was hungry some days, but definitely not a sob story. That was the time of my life. I say that was the rock bottom foundation that I've built this incredible life that I have now, just 3 short years later.
Wow.
And it forced me to go inwards. I read a fantastic book, Conversations with God. I started meditating, really looking at a lot of Tony Robbins' work and priming my mind and rewiring my beliefs and essentially changing the inner world to change the outer world, our reality. And now, 3 years later, I've been working at Mindvalley as the workspace experience designer for 2+ years, just over 2 years, and had an amazing achievement come through there recently. I'm responsible for creating the vision and working with the architects on designing the offices there. Mm. We just got our latest office into Inc. Magazine's top 10 most beautiful offices in the world.
Wow, nice. Nice. And I know that was a huge part of Vishen's life vision when he went through Lifebook. So you were an integral part of that, no?
It's amazing the synchronicities that him and I have had together. And one of these was I had a friend working for Mindvalley 2.5 years ago before I started. And she had just started. She encouraged me to work here. And I put in an application. I was a photographer. So I applied for a junior position in the films team, but I'm a pretty crappy editor. So I didn't get the job. And I had this many signs and synchronicities aligning to confirm or give me the sense of confidence that I was moving to Malaysia.
Hmm.
And then there was this insight I had where I felt I wasn't going to get the job. And sure enough, I didn't. But I was a bit confused. I'm not going to get the job. Then I realized, I'm not going to get that job.
Mm.
So I was practicing my visualization, intention setting, and doing somewhat Lifebook methodologies that weren't labeled Lifebook, but that I discovered on my own. And I started visualizing every morning for about 2 weeks, vision in a meeting room with three senior managers in Mindvalley and creating a perfect job for me with my varied experience. I've got a 10-year background in hotel management. I was doing real estate and interior design photography at the time and also drafting floor plans of houses that were for sale along with a few other jobs.
That's a perfect skill set then.
Yeah, I started visualizing this job and them getting excited about my experience and creating a perfect job for me. And 2 weeks after doing that each day, my friend sent me a text message. She said, "Oh my goodness, Vision just had a meeting about you with three senior managers and they're creating a perfect job for you that's very creative and you're going to love it."
That's incredible.
Enter in the job I have now, the workspace experience designer, and it's easily, hands down, the best job I've ever had, the best life experience I've had, and it's truly changed the course of my life. And I haven't been in a job this long as well. This is coming up to 2.5 years. It's the longest I've stayed put. and I'm not going anywhere anytime soon.
That's so cool, man. I love hearing that. Let's just talk about a little bit about how Lifebook fits into there. You were dabbling in personal development. You're kind of strengthening your spirit through these hardships over the past few years. When did you discover Lifebook in that timeline? And what was that like for you as far as a breakthrough?
Yeah, so it's October now, actually 2 year anniversary since I did Lifebook when I started at Mindvalley. So I started at Mindvalley in August 2017 and did Lifebook a few months later in the October. And it really is. I had a conversation with Missy Butcher about this. It's really about that dance of intention versus surrender and having deep faith that these great things will happen and that which is for you will come to you. Mm-hmm. And I have gotten so much clarity. They say clarity is power, and Lifebook truly brought me a lot of clarity, and it's refined Lifebook that I have now. I do work on it, and I've actually been looking at it the last few weeks, looking at the things that have seemingly magically happened in my life and the things that also don't serve me anymore. It's interesting as well. But as I've been preparing for this chat with you, I was looking at the quality of life, and I use a lot of those elements from that and from Lifebook in both my home here in Kuala Lumpur and also the Mindvalley office.
That's awesome, man. I love to hear that. What does it mean to you to transform and inspire workspaces? I mean, clearly you are called because you have such a great skill set there, but why is it so inspirational to you to transform workspaces? What makes it your passion and why is it so exciting to you?
I'll share one thing. So ever since I was little, I was extremely sensitive sensorially to sounds, to light. I would get overwhelmed with different light or sounds or too many sensory input, too much sensory input. And so often I hear people walk into a space and they'll say, something about this space I like. I don't know what it is. I just feel good. Or it makes me feel happy, or I feel relaxed, or whatever it might be. The beautiful gift that I feel that I've been given is I'm able to walk into a space and be able to reverse engineer what that is and feel what the sensory formula is to create those spaces. So in terms of office design and what I absolutely, what I say geek hard on, I'm really passionate about is creating spaces in Mindvalley's office that are conducive to happiness, to joy, to productivity, essentially. We say in Mindvalley that happiness is the new productivity, and it well and truly is. If you have happy people and you're happy in your space and you're in a great state, everything's about state. If you're in a great state, you're feeling energized, you're feeling alive, you're definitely more focused, you're more motivated, you're more inspired. There's a great book called Joyful, and I'm forgetting the author's name right now. Ingrid is her first name. I can get more information after, but she breaks down how environment creates joy. And the old way of thinking is joy comes from within. Well, certainly it does, but what comes first, the chicken or the egg? And it's a little bit of both. Spaces affect us, and we also have joy that comes from within.
Absolutely true. Yeah. Well, let's stick on that subject then. What are some of the facets and aspects of an environment that you tend to find yourself focusing on, whether it's trying to create, like you said, that happiness or tranquility? What are some of the options available to us as we craft our environment and our quality of life?
Sure thing. Yeah, absolutely. A few pragmatic steps. For me, when I'm working and making design decisions about the office, I'll sometimes draw a line down the page and ask myself, does it give energy or does it take energy? And not just energy as in the woo-woo sense, but also literally brain energy. And you can measure these things. Fluorescent lights, for example, are very commonplace in traditional offices. They're cheap to buy, they last a while, and they also are cheap to run. But fluorescent lights drain our brain energy. Fluorescent lights flicker at an incredibly fast rate that the naked eye generally can't see, but the brain is canceling that out. And you can sit in a room with no natural light with fluorescent light, and you wonder why you feel like crap after a couple of hours.
I totally believe that.
Absolutely. I used to work at an office back in Melbourne and I had no natural light and I'd go stir crazy after an hour. I'd have to leave the office every 45 minutes, just go out onto the balcony to get some fresh air and some actual light. So in Mindvalley, I take a lot of elements from photography and how light affects us and using hard and soft light. So I try and have soft light, diffuse light, or bounced light, photography terms there. But we have white ceilings. We have a lot of lighter surfaces to bounce the natural daylight. All the desks in Mindvalley are by the windows. We don't have meeting rooms blocking the natural light from where the desk areas are. And another great thing that I love, I'm quite the plant geek myself. I have about 30 plants in my one-bedroom apartment. Nice. But in one, in my, it's a beautiful thing.
That's awesome.
We're born to be in nature and we live so much of our lives indoors. So bringing nature, a little bit of the outdoors to the indoors. In Mindvalley, we have between 700-800 plants in the office since I've started. We've got a plant wall.
That's absurd.
We have a plant wall. It's incredible. I'm the resident plant geek in the office.
I love it, man. You're talking to a fellow one. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense, too. And I want to kind of touch back on the lighting thing because I'm actually deep into right now the world of light spectrums and how they affect different plants and all the health properties and genetic properties of using different spectrums to grow different plants. Fluorescent lights have always freaked me out. And if you learn how they're coated in phosphorus and how that's what glows and how they're always paired because of that blinking that you discussed, they're always paired in twos. They're never just one tube. It's because that's horrible for your eyes to have just one flickering light. Problem is, a lot of the time one burns out and when you walk in, there's a bunch of single tubes anyways. It does not surprise me that those are horrible for you. And I'm glad that you brought it up how much of a drain something simple like light spectrum or light technology can be.
Absolutely. And you touched on the spectrum there. I was reading on the different spectrums that the incandescent... What's the term I'm looking for? Sorry.
Incandescent is like the old school lights, I believe, like the old bulbous lights.
The traditional Edison bulb.
Traditional, yeah. Light bulb. Exactly. 100%.
They have a greater color spectrum, more closer to the sun, and they can provide a little bit more vitamin D, which does affect us and our well-being and our happiness. It can affect our hormone levels for males. If you have a low testosterone level, they say that taking vitamin D is a great way to increase that, which does increase your drive and productivity as well.
Jeez.
And interestingly, fluorescent lights are a very, very singular spectrum of light. They're not healthy for us at all. And you look at seasonal affective disorder and look into SAD lights as well. And LEDs are a decent light too that lasts longer. We use a lot of LEDs, 4K color temperature in the office. And use those to get a more natural daylight feel.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things you can do with LEDs. I'm so glad you brought up lighting and the importance of lighting. That's absolutely, absolutely true. But I feel like we got off course here. We were talking about reverse engineering spaces and what to focus on. Were we not?
Yes, exactly.
Let's bring it around. I do love the digressions.
Me too. I can talk and go deeper on lighting. It definitely is something that affects our mood.
Oh, and speaking of digressions, Joyful, The Surprising Power of Ordinary Things to Create Extraordinary Happiness by Ingrid Fattel Lee. You are right on that one. So that is the book that Luke was mentioning if you guys want to check that out.
Definitely a great book. There's a lot of great simple tools that she provides, and she provides a lot of scientific research into the reasoning why. And let's speak about reverse engineering and designing spaces to evoke a certain feeling. So in Mindvalley, we want to bring a sense of joy. And one such element, and according to Ingrid's book there, she has the 10 aesthetics of joy. One of those aesthetics is abundance. So an abundance of color. A great example she uses, and you'll know this to be true in yourself, if you see one balloon, it's all right. But if you see 100 balloons, all different colors, there's a sense of joy that it starts to do.
You're right. That's true.
Imagine confetti, for example. One piece of confetti on its own, not very joyful. Thousands of them falling from the sky at the same time, lots of colors. It gets interesting when you look at the research here. There's a part of our brain that is activated and stimulated to spark this sense of joy that's back to the primitive caveman days. Because when we'd see an abundance of color, that would signify to the brain that there's life, that there's plants, that there's flowers, that there's survival happening here. This would trigger this part of the brain and we would get this sense of joy that, amazing, we can survive. It's the old days of fight or flight.
Jeez, that's true.
So we bring elements. We have a room that we put together at Mind Valley that was fun. I had a bunch of custom cushions that are about 4 feet by 4 feet, huge velour soft in a whole bunch of different colors. It fills a whole room. It's over the top. There's about 20 of these in a small room, and we call it Pillow Heaven.
Yeah, I've seen pictures in there. That's right.
And the idea for that is A, abundance is one of those aesthetics of joy. And B, I wanted something that is a different area. And we always try and, in our office design, always create different zones or different spaces that are away from the desk, because it's not great to sit at your desk the whole day long. It's not great to be stuck in. We do so many different styles of work, for example, that require different brain frequencies. And sometimes it's a lower, more relaxed brain frequency. Sometimes it's more focused. We have an option of sitting or standing desks in the Mind Valley office. I generally use a standing desk and I stand up, headphones on. And if I need to do fast-paced, focused work, I'm moving a lot and keeping the energy alive. But there's other times where I need to relax and break away from the routine. So I change environment, and a great space for that could be Pillow Heaven. And coming back to that, the idea of that is that you have this huge abundance of pillows that you jump and fall in, and they give you a big hug. Quite comforting.
That's a great
place to rest the mind and body.
What do you think of the incorporation of physical mechanics into our quality of life and our workspaces? Do you find that physical activity or things like you said, standing, are a big game changer?
Massively. So it's a great quote that Tony Robbins often references. Our physiology determines our psychology. I'm a huge advocate for that. You slump your shoulders, you sit low. Here's a great example, right? We used to have a hall. We got to demolish it earlier this year and build a new hall. Like an event theater in the Mind Valley offices. And I gave a talk to a group of architect students there. This hall was what was known as the Hall of Awesomeness in Mind Valley. It was full of beanbags. You may have seen photos there. And we had this big hall full of beanbags. And I'm giving a talk to these 20, 21-year-old uni students, architect students, and a few of them fell asleep. And I don't think I'm the most boring speaker in the world, but I know this. You put someone in a beanbag. I've even seen Vishen snooze in those beanbags. Don't tell him I told you, but it's true, you know. Your physiology determines your psychology. So if I'm feeling tired in the afternoon, there's a great place in our office. We've designed a pull-up bar to be incorporated into the office. And some of us guys and girls will just go and do a few pull-ups. We've got a little jumping trampoline.
Oh,
just
I love
get that energy up, get the heart rate up. 5 minutes, boom, done. If you look into the Pomodoro technique, that's a great starting ground to look at this as well. So different spaces that give you different options. If I'm really tired and need to listen to my body and rest, we have nap pods there.
I'll go and
have a light for 20 minutes. And definitely a big fan of standing desks.
I love that, man. It's the balance between like, which way is my day going to go? Because you either need to energize or you need to rest. And I think when you deprive your employees of those options, they just become like fatigued little zombie rats. You know what I mean?
It's a robotic type existence. And freedom is one of the beautiful things we're granted in the way we work at Mind Valley. And interestingly, we put a lot of work in, more than you would in any other regular job.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you guys are always doing these interviews with me after hours and stuff because you've got this energy and you've got this love and you're not just completely saturated at work and then left at the end of the day like a wrung out rag. Because that's the industrial model, right? Is this all the future? Like, I see this trend growing and growing, right? I feel like companies are going to catch on to the profitability side of this because nothing changes an industry as fast as profitability. It doesn't matter how moral it is or how whatever it is. If it's more profitable, it will start being implemented across the board. Do you feel like this is the future and that the old style is just an archaic, old, outdated remnant of industrialization?
Hands down, couldn't agree more. Absolutely.
And do you feel like this change is happening now, like across America? I feel like it is.
I'm seeing it as well across the world. It's interesting. So we're based in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, and we're a standout company for the work culture here.
I was just going to say, are you guys like a sore thumb out there, or is this kind of accepted?
A little bit, but interestingly, the workplace culture is sparking interest in the corporate world here, where our teams and Vision are going in and giving
nice
talks and trainings to government agencies here. Some of the
mindful
courses. Yeah, it's there's an awakening in all senses going on, and I see it. It's definitely happening, and it's beautiful to see. More so in America, Australia, I definitely see that.
Nice. That's cool, man. I really like that. Let's see. What else do we have to discuss? Is there anything you wanted to wrap up on creating environments, or we can move on to some drains, some things we should avoid?
One thing for me, definitely, I mentioned the lighting. That's a huge thing. Depending if you're listening to this and taking advice for your own office or for your home. Mm-hmm. For me, I have a one-bedroom apartment. It's not massive. It's a decent size. I have a bedroom upstairs and living room, kitchen, and small dining room desk area downstairs. But what I do in both my home and the office is creating spaces and zones for different uses, similar to what I was saying before. And I'll share one thing that I recently did. I have this desk at home, a standing desk. It's great. It's by a window. I wasn't using it. I didn't like it. There was something about it. Interior design-wise, it looked nice. It looked good in photos. Mm. I just changed it last week. The desk was facing a plain white wall. So I turned it 90 degrees, and now I look out across the trees in the swimming pool. And just that alone, my eyes can stretch out and focus in further in a longer distance. They're not just looking at the screen and a wall. I don't feel boxed in.
That's such a good way to put it.
Sense of expansion there.
Totally.
And again, I can't be more of an advocate for trees or plants.
What else do we have that really can suck our energy, suck our time from a space? You know, I know cleanliness is super important. And then a little follow-up question to that, how do you feel about minimalism versus, you know, like the quantity battle?
Yeah, sure thing. Two sides of the coin. I'm a big fan of, in terms of design, I love minimalism. At the same time, I'm a fan of feeling joy and feeling a sense of abundance around me. My apartment, for example, I have different textures. I have a plush rug. I have woods and metals and all these different surfaces and textures. And I love that. By no means is it cluttered. I definitely don't think clutter is a good thing. If you have a cluttered space, you can have a cluttered mind. Mm-hmm. In terms of storage, here's a great one as well, what we do in Mindvalley. No one has a drawer by their desk. We have hidden lockers that are covered with writing glass, whiteboard walls, so they're concealed. So it's a really nice design feature. They're hidden, but it's also great for hygiene and health and less dust collecting underneath drawers, easier for our cleaners, of course, to clean up.
Interesting. And that's where you keep all your stuff?
Yeah, if you have any of your personal items, you can use your locker.
That's really cool. I like that. Hidden lockers.
Nice and out of the way. They're not cluttering in the visually.
Yeah, exactly.
And another thing there is, well, with the zoning of spaces, another thing that I consider when we're doing a 3-year renovation of all of our offices at the moment, and I have this beautiful opportunity to redo the floor plans. And there's two types of noise for me, especially we have 250 people based in Kuala Lumpur in our offices. So we're an excitable, loud bunch of people. So creating different spaces for everyone. So there's audible noise, but there's also visual noise. So making sure that desks aren't in thoroughfares, that people don't have too much foot traffic going by their desks. So they're off to one side.
Totally.
Walkway in different areas. That's another great thing that we do there.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Let me ask you this when it comes to the zones. And I feel like everything's a metaphor for everything. And here's what I mean by that. I feel like when you have, let's just take the home, for example. Let's step out of the workspace and step back into the home. If you're going through your home and you got a, you know, couple bedroom home or whatever, and there's just kids stuff everywhere. There's kids stuff in every room. There's toys, there's diapers, there's, you know, remnants, whatever. There's just kids stuff in every room. I believe that's a metaphor for an imbalance in your life. I would wager that your spouse is probably not getting quite enough attention if your kid's stuff is everywhere. If your work stuff is everywhere, I have a feeling that there may be an imbalance in your life where a little bit too much time and energy is put towards work. If your hobby stuff is everywhere, I feel like that is a metaphor. I feel like it's a representation. I feel like that very rarely exists in a vacuum. I mean, it does, right? Everybody has stuff come up and then their house gets dirty occasionally. But if it's permeating every zone, it's representative of an imbalance. Would you agree that that's the case, let's just say, most of the time?
I think there's some truth in that. And there's a great saying, how we do anything is how we do everything. And
yes, exactly.
Definitely a metaphor, a symbol for that.
Yeah, but when it comes to our environments, it's very visible, especially to someone from the outside. That's the thing. Our environments become, sometimes they become a backdrop, like some weird original Star Trek series painted backdrop that just becomes normalized. You know what I mean? Stepping into someone else's environment can be a shock because you can learn so much about them with just looking and perusing, you know. So I think that recognizing that impact and that representation and that metaphor is actually quite empowering and gives you something to work on and aspire towards and be proud of in the end.
Absolutely. And it's this chicken and egg thing that I mentioned before. If you're wanting to be a little bit more organized and have a less cluttered mind, perhaps you could create physical spaces and environments that are less cluttered.
Totally.
Jim Quick talked about this in terms of working on your memory and having a super brain to clean your desk, clean your house, make sure things are organized. And for me personally, I manage a lot in my life, in my work life and personal life. And I'm someone who really needs to compartmentalize mentally. And I know that when I'm feeling overwhelmed and stressed, I can look around, my house might be a little bit out of place. And once I tidy it and put everything in its space, I completely feel a lot more organized.
Totally.
And they feed each other, most certainly.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. I would agree. I want to make sure we have enough time. Let's go ahead and give out some of your practical strategies for transforming a work environment. I know you've mentioned a few, so you're gonna double touch on some, but that's fine. Just give us a list of some things that we can do, practical, easy things we can do to transform our workspace.
Absolutely. So definitely have more natural sunlight where possible. Natural sunlight for working is so much better for brain function, general mood. And as I said before, when you're feeling great, when you're feeling in a heightened state or a more energized, joyful, happy state, you're far more likely to do those tasks and those menial jobs that you don't want to do if you're feeling totally crap and boxed into a fluorescent light room.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I've mentioned it many times, have more plants. Plants increase the oxygen. They definitely, you just have to go into, I'm fortunate I live in Malaysia here. There's a jungle right near my house. And if I walk in there, I feel the difference. On a cellular level, I'm a huge advocate for meditating, but there is one thing that the power of nature and the way that it energetically, I feel it shift my cells and calm me and make me feel better, more focused, more present.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing again, splitting areas into different zones. If for any of our listeners who are listening, talking about office design for larger offices, just going a little bit deeper on that. So we take a lot of research from a company called Gensler. And there's some great research papers on workspaces. And one model is to split the office into four different zones. So you have four different work modes. You have collaboration, social, focus, and learn. With the first two being quiet, allowed, and the second two, focus and learn, being quiet types of work modes. And think about this for yourself for a moment. They say that if you don't have sufficient focus and learn time where you're doing your deep work, and another great book to read is Cal Newport's Deep Work, if you don't have enough time doing your deep work, you're not present enough. You've got too many things running through your mind that your collaboration meetings and style of work and your social time will suffer. So it's the linchpin for all of them to work. So creating spaces that support that. So for example, what we do traditionally in offices, you had these very cubicle style old school offices. Then the pendulum swung all the way to the other side where we had the open collaboration is everything.
Right.
And people get frustrated. They can't focus. And when people are frustrated, they don't want to collaborate. So bringing the pendulum back, what we're aiming to do in our Mindvalley offices is bring that percentage of open space from, say, 80, 85% back down to around 55%. And all collaboration and social type work modes will happen in contained spaces. And then the desks are in a somewhat open area where people can do their focus and learning. So building spaces that support those different work modes.
Love that.
And again, I mentioned that we have sleep pods. We have a place called Pillow Heaven. There's lots of different nooks and crannies and couches and sofas where people can escape. And just often I'll just go and sit on a couch and hide in the corner away from the main traffic of the office and sit there with my laptop. And it's just a nice way to disrupt. If I'm just doing a little bit of research or learning, I don't need to be that attentive where I'm high productive execution mode. Mm-hmm. I can just go and sit. So different spaces for relaxation and short breaks.
That's great.
Yeah, as I said, hiding storage, we have those lockers, but putting a lot of the storage out of the way and concealing it, keeping things clutter-free. A clutter-free mm-hmm. space helps with a clutter-free mind, mm-hmm. most definitely.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, man. This has been absolutely wonderful. Before we sign off here, though, do you have any final advice for the listeners who are looking to take their quality of life to the next level, either in their workspace or in their home? Any parting words for the Lifebook members?
I have my Lifebook in front of me actually right now, and I'm looking through the quality of life, and something I wrote 2 years ago was how great environments energetically level me up and provide a beautiful space for me to create, to be myself, to inform and allow what is to be. And in doing that, I can't emphasize enough the power of creating and decorating your home, putting a little bit of artwork, putting a few plants, tidying mm-hmm. things up, putting a few things that you love, symbols of photos of loved ones, all of this sort of stuff, quotes on your wall, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. But in saying that as well, the one thing I really want to say, and I've been reflecting on this a lot lately, is the power of intention and the amount of clarity Lifebook has brought me in setting intentions, creating some strategy, and then surrendering that what's meant to be will be, and allowing things to flow to me. And my life is testament of that. In 3 years, I've just seen absolute dramatic change. And the beautiful thing, I'm in this point right now. I was chatting to John and Missy about a year and a bit ago after I had done a workshop with them at the Mindvalley offices. And I said, it's this exponential compound effect that I feel that I'm about to hit. Mm-hmm. And it takes time. You plant all these seeds and it takes a little while for the seeds to germinate and to grow. But if we keep working on our bodies, our mind, our heart, it becomes better and better soil for those seeds to grow. And right now I'm seeing more and more seeds sprout more quickly, and it's this exponential, beautiful effect. And I remember Missy saying to me that time about a year and a bit ago, she said, hold on for the ride, baby. Things are going to get crazy. And I'm seeing that happen in my life right now. It's a beautiful thing. So
that's great.
Have faith, have patience, and enjoy the ride.
I love it, man. Thank you so much, Luke, for doing this. I really appreciate it. And you had some great, great advice for quality of life. One of my favorite categories.
Thanks, Jordan. It's been great chatting to you. Really appreciate it. And quality of life is, yeah, one of my favorites in there as well. Absolutely.
Luke, for the listeners who are super interested in everything you're saying, give us your Instagram. Give us some place where we can find you and follow you.
Sure thing. So there's two places I post. It's Instagram, and my Instagram handle is I am Luke Myers. IAMLUKEMYERS. And on LinkedIn, I've been writing a few more posts there lately. It's Luke Anthony Myers. I write more so on workspace design and a little bit on personal growth as well. A huge passion for me, of course.
Awesome. Go follow him, everybody. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Stay tuned for more Quality of Life talk and then Life Vision. And then we start it all over again. Super excited to get into 2020. We got some new episode types coming your way. It's going to be really, really great, people. So stay tuned. Thank you all for being wonderful Lifebook members. I hope you're having a wonderful time crafting your life vision. One more time, Luke, thank you so much for doing this from all the way across the globe. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, everyone listening. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Luke Myers and Jordan River signing off saying have an extraordinary day.